course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Just eating some Vienna sausages.
Yeah, I like those. It's
I like to put a little hot sauce on them.
I feel like it's a very divisive snack.
It is.
Yeah, I like to kind of cut them in half, put them on saltines. But
ooh, fancy.
Yeah, well, I don't know about fancy, but
what's your opinion on potted meat?
Oh, I like potted meat. Like it.
I do too. I like to make sandwiches out of it.
Just so you know, if it's any kind of white trash type snack, I'm good with it. I probably like it. Actually, if it's just pretty much any kind, there's not really a whole lot of foods that I don't like. In some capacity.
He does not like turtle soup.
Do you not like what?
Turtle soup.
Actually, I'm not. You know what? I don't mind it because the turtle's dead. So
I was gonna say you don't like turtles, so maybe you do.
Yeah, it's the living turtles that bother me. If they're dead and cooked, I'm pretty good.
I've heard that turtle soup's actually not good. I've heard that it's actually just like very briny.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had turtle soup, so I don't know. But I could pretty much say without any shadow of doubt, there's not a whole lot that I would not try.
Same.
I'm very open. I actually like trying new things. So there's a lot of things that, you know, some people might their stomachs might turn that don't bother that doesn't bother me. That I'd be curious to try. So I'm always looking to try new things. Ironically enough, the only thing that in any capacity that bothers me are tomatoes. And it's only certain just at certain times. I don't know. I'm just not super hip with overly tomatoey tastes. It's weird.
Do you like raw tomatoes?
No. Well, I can eat them on like a burger or a sandwich. I like that. Just as far as just eating a, you know, it's like a slice of raw tomato. No, I don't. It's not that I couldn't eat it. It's just not, I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. I'm not particularly fond. I do like it on like a burger though, or a sandwich. And I like tomato in lots of things. And I mean, I don't even mind tomato soup sometimes, but it's not one of those things that I crave or anything. It's like, I don't know. I if it's too overly tomato taste, it's not my thing. I like to have a, you know, if it's tomatoey, like, you know, like a marinara or something, I want that sucker like really seasoned.
Right.
So I don't know. But that's the only thing at all that ever gives me, I mean, any pause to think about. I mean, there's really nothing else that I've tried thus far that bothers me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I pretty much will eat anything. Honestly, there's nothing that I won't eat, and there's nothing that like I don't like. The only thing that I don't prefer, I don't like plain almonds. And it's not even necessarily like a flavor thing. It's like the way it makes my teeth feel after I eat them. I don't know why. It just makes my teeth feel weird, so I don't like eating them.
Yeah, I don't mind almonds. It's not that I even, you know, like I said, that I don't mind them. There's just certain ways. I'm very particular. I don't know. It's very weird because it's like, I don't know. Like I can drink some tomato juice just straight up. It's I don't know. Someone could write a whole thesis on it and probably not figure it out. It's weird.
He's like, I won't eat tomato, but you put some, you know, you put some Vienna sausage in front of me, which I presume probably has like raccoon ankles in it or something like that. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, I like shit like spam. Fucking love spam. Mm-hmm. Oh, like fried spam. Oh, Jesus. You put that on a fucking sandwich with some mayo. Oh, all about it. Eat it with some eggs. I'm all about. So it's like, it's weird. Oyster. I love oysters. It's like, I love lots of, you know, lots of things that people are weird about, but it's, I don't know what it is. And it's like, I can't even pigeonhole tomatoes even because it's like
It's not all
certain.
tomatoes.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like certain times, I want it like, it's like I crave a tomato like on my burger or something or my sandwich. Other times I'm like, I don't want any part of it. So I don't know. I guess it's a hormonal thing. Who knows? But anyway, this is, alas, not a food podcast, although we are two hefty guys. So there's going to be food that's going to come up. I'm just sorry, guys. That's just the way it's going to be.
True.
Yeah. So, but this is a horror podcast. And on this episode, we are going to be reviewing the movie The Rule of Jenny Pin. But before we get there, we got some things to talk about. And starting with Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
So let's see. We completely finished Yellow Jackets. We had started it last week, but this weekend we had some free time, so we were able to knock out and watch all of season one and two, and then what's out of season three. Season three is going to have 10 episodes, and there's eight out right now, so we'll get another one Friday, and then the last episode will be next Friday. And man, Yellow Jackets is such a good show. If you guys have not seen that show yet, you need to jump on it. I would say it's probably one of my favorite horror shows or horror related shows. Let's see. Outside of that, I rented a movie from the library called Symphony, and it's an anthology film. And I'll be honest, you can get this online. I think it's on Tubi. Everything's on Tubi.
That's right.
But I'm a huge fan of physical media, and so it was really cool just to be able to get a movie from the library and bring it home and throw it in the good old DVD player or Blu-ray player or whatever. Basically, it's an anthology film. It was released in 2022, but it was actually made during COVID. But it's a few small bites into one movie, and honestly, it was really, really good. For it being in a low budget film, really, really good. It's got pretty favorable reviews, all things considered as well. I just found it on the library website down here and decided let me get it. Let's see what happens. And speaking of, I got another one from the library. And now this one I don't think is going to be as good, but my wife, she works for the library, and she tells me, if you rent a book or a movie that's not been rented or checked out in a while, once you show interest and you rent that movie, it stays in the system for another 2 years. And so I found a movie called The Exorcism in Amarillo, and which just right off the bat, I mean, like, what the fuck happened in Amarillo? I mean, truly, like, but it's called The Exorcism in Amarillo, and I'm gonna send Dave a screenshot of the cover of this movie, and Dave, you just tell me what is your first thoughts when you look at this image, and I just sent it.
Just let's see. It's not through yet. Oh, here it comes. Okay. The what?
Called The Exorcism in Amarillo. What do you think of that?
I don't. It doesn't even. It looks like a very poorly made meme or something. It's just,
Right.
this is
Which was
so lame. It's like the text is like, I don't know what that is. Just like your very basic kind of text for the pictures. I don't even know what that picture is. It's like you have
right.
the Exorcism Amarillo. That I don't even know what that means. Based on a true story, I'm interested about that part, I guess.
Right. So
I don't know.
I saw this movie on like the library site, and I'm like, and I checked it out, and she's like, and she said, that's going to be in the system for like another 2 years because you checked it out. I said, good. I hope somebody else checks
That's
this out.
right.
So I'll have my official review of that movie next week, because I should have it either today or tomorrow. The wonderful thing about my wife working in the library is she can bring me home stuff. So,
I would venture to guess there's probably nothing more used in horror movies than exorcism.
Yes.
They have There has been an exorcism of everything and everywhere, probably. Yeah, this looks kind of hokey. I'm curious. I can't think the unless they spent every single dollar they had on the movie and had nothing left for cover art budget.
Right.
But if it's Amarillo, you know, if it does not have like, I mean, if it doesn't have Aardvarks or Terry Funk in it, I mean, I think they're missing the boat because I don't know what else Amarillo is known for. But I don't know.
I don't know. I just saw it and I said, you know what? Surely this is going to be a good movie.
Maybe.
So I got it. I'll let you guys know what happened. But other than that, I didn't really watch anything else. Just mostly Yellow Jackets. Oh, and we wa started watching some true crime documentary stuff. We watched the Gabby Petito documentary on Netflix, which was really great. Which I mean, that whole situation is so fucked up. And this is real life horror. Like true crime to me is real life horror. And so that whole situation is fucked up. We watched the Ruby Frankie documentary on the Hulu. I don't know why I said the Hulu, but
Yeah, the
it's on the
Hulu.
Hulu,
All right, Grandpa.
right? It's on my Google. But yeah, and that's another really fucked up situation. And then we also watched the Shannan Watts documentary with like Chris Watts and all that stuff and their children. And then I think that's all the documentaries we watch. I watched Moana too, but that's not a horror movie.
Well, it depends on your perspective.
Right, depends on how much you like Moana.
That's right. I mean, what do you think of The Rock?
Right.
Let's see. I didn't watch anything directly horror related, really. I've watched a lot of live Dead Kennedys concerts here recently. I've been on a Dead Kennedys kick, which, by the way, anybody out there wants a very, very great political band. The Dead Kennedys were that. They still exist, but wouldn't Jell-O be off our left? They lost them anyway. I won't go down that rabbit hole. That's a different podcast. Let's see. What I'm always watching Supernatural. I always watch Supernatural. I don't think I watched anything else horror related though. Have you heard anything about that documentary on, this is on a side note, that documentary about Jim Morrison? Well, it's not a documentary about Jim. It's this guy who has studied, you know, Jim Morrison, right? The singer for the Doors, who passed away. This guy has, you know, really delved into his life, studied his life, and whatever else, and has gone down this rabbit hole of believing that Jim Morrison. Okay, I don't know if I want to say believing, at least being curious enough that Jim Morrison faked his death and is still alive, and found a guy in, I think it's Syracuse, that he believes could potentially be Jim Morrison. And I watched that documentary, and I'm not typically one to get sucked into this kind of stuff, but I watched this thing, and I'm like, you know what? There's enough there that at least it won't convince you, but there's at least enough there to make you say, I don't know. Now, and an added layer to that, the guy that is in the documentary, his name's Frank. That's the guy in Syracuse. I found him on Facebook and friended him. And I am Facebook friends, and I have chatted with him on Messenger. And he's a wacky dude, and I'm just kind of just letting it go. Now, in the documentary, he point blank asked the guy, "Are you Jim Morrison?" He's like, "Nope, I'm not." Right? But of course, you know, even if it was, what would he say? He would say,
Right.
"Anyway, there's," but you know, it's one of those things that makes you think. Maybe not enough to convince you, and whatnot. But like I said. What's wacky about it is, and one of those fucking internet weird ass things, after I watched that documentary, whatever, this Frank dude came up as a suggested friend for me. I am so convinced that social media is just like fucking bugging us all, because it's so weird how shit like that happens. So I don't know what it was. It's like after not long after I watched the documentary, this guy was a suggested friend on Facebook, and I was like, oh, that's that dude. And I added him. And have chatted with him a little bit. If there's any major advancements in that field, I will let people know in the future. But anyway, I watched
Thank you.
that. If you're at all a fan of music, rock and roll, or classic rock, it's interesting enough to give a watch. Like I said, it doesn't matter what you think. It's interesting enough. It may not, like, it didn't convince me, but it's enough to just make you scratch your head a little bit, right? I can see why this guy thought, huh, this is peculiar. There's enough stuff there. But anyway, what else did I?
No, is that the before the end searching for Jim Morrison? It's on Apple TV.
That's it. So
Know
like
what
I
I'm
said,
watching tomorrow.
yeah, it's like I said, it's a fun watch. And it's one of those things where it's like not like the guy's trying to convince you. He's
Right.
just laying it out there. And he doesn't even say definitively, I think this. He's just literally will tell you, he's like, this is a lot of weird stuff that just I don't know what to think now. And I agree. It's like, I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that gets into the this guy faked their death thing. But this, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If anybody did it, it'd be fucking Jim Morrison. I'm gonna
Yeah.
be real. I'm a huge fan of The Doors and Jim Morrison, and I have read lots of stuff and whatever else. If anybody faked their death to disappear from the spotlight, it would have been that guy.
I was gonna say, wasn't Jim Morrison like famously like he hated being famous? Like he like that was something that he hated, right? Like I'm not crazy.
Yeah, he got to that point, right? Where it's like he loved making music and this and that, but he just wanted to like go somewhere and be a poet and just not even. He did just, you know, and he had some, there was some legal trouble with some bogus shit in Miami where he supposedly exposed himself on stage. Fucking there's footage. It didn't happen, right? It's
Yeah.
just, no one says it happened, but he was facing all this legal stuff and there was a lot of shit. And he just basically just ran off to Paris. But there is a lot of weird stuff about his death and what happened after and a lot of stuff that was just swept under the rug as, oh, it's in France, it's another country, there's this, there's that. It's just peculiar stuff. I mean, stuff that just like, you know, the family not being notified, the body not being seen by hardly anybody, the guy, the doctor, it's on the death report, no one can seem to track down and find who he is, shit like that. So there is enough peculiar stuff that makes you like, what the fuck's going on here? And but anyway, you know what, if you have at all an interest, and you know, and rock and roll, classic rock, or conspiracy type theories. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory, but it falls enough in that light to, like
Right.
I said, didn't convince me 100%, but it's enough to make you think, and
Right.
whatever else. But anyway, that's a whole nother way we kind of rambled about that. But yeah, it's a fun watch.
Love shit like that. So you're talking to the right guy. I love shit like that.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was. I mean, I probably wouldn't have watched it if you know if I wasn't like a Doors fan. I'm a big Doors fan. I love the Doors and I love Jim Morrison. I mean, I've got, I don't know if all, but several of his, you know, books of poetry and different things. I've always been a big fan of them and him, the band and him, and shit like that. So, yeah, so of course I was going to watch it and it was interesting and, so, but yeah, like I said, on a whole other layer, that is, I'm somehow now Facebook friends with this dude that they thinks Jim Morrison, and he's peculiar. I have chatted with him a bit, and then asked him about the attention that he's gotten from this whole thing being out, and all he could focus on was the fact that yeah, he's getting a lot of female attention now because of this, and he's an old man and. So it's wacky, and I'm like, dude, I don't care about any of that. I don't want to hear about any of that. But you know, he can't wrap his brain around the fact that he was featured in this thing, and now there's, and I don't have the, you know, I don't have the heart to tell you that probably most of these people are fake. But anyway, did I watch anything else besides that? I don't think so. I did watch, no, not nothing horrible. I did watch A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan film. Again, because it's now officially out on Hulu. I have seen it before. It was pretty good. I'm a Dylan, you know, a Dylan fan, like, you know, like Dylan. The film's not 100% accurate. Of course, it does take some cinematic, whatever you call it,
Liberties.
liberties. There you go. That's the word. But of course, it has to, right? I mean, because you're trying to tell a story and condense it down. But anyway, it's a good film. I'm not the world's biggest Timothée Chalamet fan, but I do think he's very talented and he did a great job in this film. But
Did you mean Timothée Chalamet?
yeah, whatever. whatever his name is, I don't know. He's a wacky dude,
He
but
is.
I want to see him do some horror. I don't know why. I think it's just a be a weird complex.
I think he would be good in horror. I think he could. I mean, I think he's kind of
Sure.
lanky and weird looking, so I think he could play like a monster.
I don't care what this kid ever does, right? I mean, he's done these Dune movies, he's done all this other shit. He will forever be the weird guy that was on Saturday Night Live doing that weird white rapper thing on that
Yeah.
one skit. If anybody's not seen that skit, look it up. That's I don't care what he does. I will forever think of that with him and Pete Davidson doing that skit. So, all right. Well, I think we've rambled quite a bit in this opening here. It's kind of weird, and we've not even talked a lot about horror. Hopefully, we haven't lost everybody. I promise there's horror related content coming. If you're not interested in Bob Dylan, The Doors, or I don't know what else we talked about. So, food. Yeah, we talked about food, but I think people are used to that. So, all right. So let's take a break and let's come back right real quick with our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And our first segment, as always, is Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where I present to you just that, a cheesy slasher or a low-budget horror, whatever you want to define it, one of those under-the-radar type horror movies. And, of course, we are reviewing The Rule of Jenny Pin, which anybody, no spoiler here, anybody that has heard about it knows there's a puppet involved. So keeping in that vein, the cheesy slasher of the week for this episode is the movie Dolly Dearest. It was released October 18th, 1991, in a limited theatrical run and then released to home video in May of 1992. The movie is described as a toy manufacturer buys the Dolly Dearest, factory in Mexico, where the malevolent spirit of Sanzia, a devil child, has taken refuge in one of the porcelain dolls. It eventually takes control of, well, it says his daughter. I don't know who he is. That was the description straight from IMDb, so I'm not sure of his daughter. Oh, I guess that's the toy manufacturer's daughter. Okay, gotcha. Anyway, the movie was written by Maria Lise, Rod Nave, and Peter Sutcliffe, directed by Maria Lise, starring Denise Crosby, for those of you that are Star Trek fans. She was in Star Trek The Next Generation. Sam Bottoms, Rip Torn, for you, those of you who are Dodgeball fans. He was in Dodgeball. And others. And this movie is one of the most known factors of this movie, obviously, is it was considered a bit of a Child's Play clone. Not surprisingly, if you hear it, the description and whatever else. So I can't say I have seen this movie. Can't say that I don't know whether I will ever watch this movie. I might. If it has Denise Crosby and Rip Torn, that's got my curiosity a little bit. I'm going to assume that you have probably not seen Dolly Dearest.
Yeah, I can't say that I have. It sounds like a very clearly a clone of Chucky, very, very clearly.
Yeah, I'm not a big doll fan, so this one will be weird for me. But anyway, there you have it. The cheesy slasher of the week is Dolly Dearest. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I respond to listener feedback, or we just discuss a topic or a point brought up on social media. And today we have the point, Ike, has the doll and puppet-themed horror movie craze been drained creatively? There's been lots of doll movies, lots of puppet movies, whatever else. Has it kind of ran its course? Is there much more that they can do with the doll and puppet themed horror? What do you think?
So my initial, because when you know we you know, so for everybody knows, a little peek behind the curtain, Dave sends these scripts to me. It's not scripts, just notes really, but little notes about things that we're going to talk about, and this was in there. And my initial reaction before recording was absolutely fucking yes. They have completely drained the very premise of a doll. But I pondered for a moment and I had to take a couple steps back reverse, pump the brakes, and I had to remember, Abby, or what is it? Abigail? Is that the movie?
Abigail?
Am I thinking about the wrong movie?
You talking about the Conjuring type of Annabelle?
Oh, not Annabelle. Oh God.
You talking
oh
about Megan?
Megan. Oh my God. Sweet mm-hmm. Jesus. Whew. Almost had a heart attack. Okay. And I pumped the brakes and I said, Megan. That's what I was thinking. Megan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I thought to myself, Megan is in the doll genre. It's a more of a robot, I guess, but it's still a doll. It's intended sure. to be a doll companion of some sort.
Yes.
So I said, if Megan can be released in this day and age and it not be like stupid and overused, then I guess that the doll genre hasn't been completely drained. Now, I do think that we are approaching that precipice of, you know, Megan is new and revolutionary, right? But it still draws from very overused tropes and topics. So I kind of have to ask myself, is Megan just a very well done movie in that trope and genre? Or, and like, is it actually like, okay, there's probably not going to be a really good doll movie for another 20 years? Or is it that doll movies can still be made and it not be overused? So it's kind of one of those toss-ups where it's like, I guess it could be overused, but at the same time, you have good movies still coming out that use that trope.
Yeah, it's a weird question, right? Because like you said, if you take it at face value, you want to say, yeah, right? Because they've done so much with it, right? They've done so many doll movies, so many puppet-type movies, so many toy-type movies. So there's, you take it at face value and you want to say, oh, yeah. I mean, it's, what else could they do? But I'm always very cautious at things like this because there's always a creator out there that'll surprise me. And when you say, yeah, I mean, right. And like you said, right, they come up with like a Megan or in a toy related, they come up with a movie like, The Monkey. And this, that. And it's like every time you think it's been done, something comes out, and even if it's kind of repeating some stuff, it does it in a strong enough way that makes you think, well, okay, maybe there's a little bit there. Now, do I ever think there will be this huge run of doll and puppet coming? I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe, but this stuff is kind of secular, and it comes around and. Right, which sometimes, it's for a while vampires are the hot thing. Is it for a while vampires or werewolves are the hot thing, and then for a while zombies are the hot thing. So, who knows? Will it come around that dolls and puppets are the hot thing? Maybe. But I guess I've seen enough now to know that you can't just dismiss anything anymore. Because anytime you want to say, yep, that's been done to death, someone comes along and makes a movie that makes you say, well, okay, well, maybe there's a little more.
Right.
And it's I don't know, it's odd. But do I think maybe we could use a break from some of it? Yeah. Right. I do think it's one of those things that if there's gonna be a new lease on life, it's gonna be after it we take a break and it's kind of dormant for a while and a couple other things run their course. Inevitably at some point. I feel the doll and puppet toy thing will come back probably in full force because enough time will pass that they will rehash some stuff and that's okay. That's the way movies work, particularly horror, I think. Like I said, there's always seems to be a strong theme, at some point that's just out there. But I do think there is time. The time is now or whatever I'm trying to say, that it needs to kind of take a break and catch its breath from this kind of stuff. Obviously Megan did well. We'll see whether it has life in it. When we see the second one, Megan 2.0, is there enough there to have another? I don't know. I don't know. I enjoyed Megan, but I don't know if there's enough there to start spawning a franchise. I just don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they come up with. I, you know, but it, it, like I said, it's this It's a weird line to walk, and it's all dependent on the creators, what they give to us. Yeah, my gut says it's time for a break, but somebody could come out with an absolutely genius movie based on a doll or whatever. And we're going to talk about a movie here in a bit based that's got a puppet centrally themed. And like I said, somebody could come out with a movie that just makes you say, okay, well, maybe it's not quite time to put that to rest yet. So it's a weird world.
It
But
is.
all right, then let's move on.
Stump the co-host.
And this is the first episode of April, so that means it's time for Stump the Co-host. This is our once a month horror trivia game contest where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. We pick two cards out of the deck at random, and that is four questions total. We present those to each other, alternating questions, and we play until there's a winner. If there's not a winner at the end of the four, we continue on until there is a winner. Like I said, new for this year, we are not having draws. Ike was the trivia champion of 2023 and 2024, and so far this year, he does lead 2-1. Now, I know it's early, but that is a little more competitive than it typically is, so I'm pretty happy about that. So we'll see what happens, if whether I can pull even or whether I lose my momentum, because I did win last month for March. So we'll see what happens. So, Ike, do you have your cards?
I think I do. What am I saying? Right. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I don't know why there was question in that. It was a pretty definitive question that you gave a very weird answer to. All right.
That's how I do things around here.
That's the way we roll. all right. So I'm going to put you on the spot and give you the first question, because you're still in the lead. So you're still in the hot seat. So, Ike, here is your first question. What sci-fi horror film does a black hole unleash its evil upon the actors Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill?
That is Event Horizon.
That is Event Horizon. Correct.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. So you've jumped out to a 1-0 lead. Let's see if I can stay competitive and keep pace with you, Ike. Bring it on.
All right. The director of Drag Me to Hell is most famous for what other horror franchise?
Ooh. What other horror franchise?
Right. So the guy, it's a guy, I'll give you that, who directed Drag Me to Hell is most famous for a different horror franchise that he directs.
Yeah, okay. Shit. I'm not a Drag Me to Hell kind of guy. I've not seen Drag Me to Hell. Don't know a lot about Drag Me to Hell. Fudge. This is not a good question for me to come out of the gates with. All right, then. Let's just take a shot in the dark. And let's say he is most known for the Saw franchise.
It is not the Saw franchise.
I figured probably not.
So the director is Sam Raimi, and he is most known for his Evil Dead series.
Yes. I didn't know that. Great. All right. Cool. Wonderful. Here we go. Your second question. Who is also known as Mistress of the Dark?
Is that Elvira?
That is Elvira. See, why can't I get a goddamn question like that? Son of a bitch. All right. Well, I'm down 2-0, so the pressure's completely on me now. And I got to have a little luck to boot, so bring it on. Who cares? Go ahead.
All right. So this question to me is a little bit weird, worded weirdly, so I'll try and, I'll say it and then I'll reword it. What day does Tree have to relive over and over in the 2017 movie Happy Death Day? Tree is the main character's name. So what?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I've not seen Happy Death Day. A lot of people are going to be shocked by that. But what day, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I can fathom some form of a guess. What if I just say it's his birthday?
That is correct.
Well, you know, that was a wild guess.
Yeah, I mean, that I was going to say Happy Death Day. It's kind of there, but I could see why someone might be a little, like, might be different. But yeah, it's her birthday. Tree is a woman.
Oh, well. Sorry, Tree. Maybe the first core problem is the fact that people call you Tree.
I was going to say.
God dang it, man. All right, here. I'm getting very grumpy about these things. Here's your third question. Who wrote and directed A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Wes Craven.
Yes. I get the fucking Tree question about the goddamn movie I haven't seen. All right. Bring me my third question. Go ahead.
All right. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Name the movie.
Be afraid.
Oh, come on. I'm going to be very surprised if you don't get this, because I was going to say something, but I think would have gave it away. It's a movie you always tell me to watch.
Great. So now if I get this wrong, it's going to be, what? I always tell you to what? Be afraid. Be very afraid. Why does that tagline not strike any memories for me?
Yeah, I've never seen the movie, so I don't know if this is like in the movie or if it's like a promo for the movie. I don't know.
Well, shiznit. I feel like a moron because now apparently this is a movie I should know. And for some reason, this tagline does not jump at me. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Well, now, hell. I can't even think of a movie that I've told you to watch. I don't even know.
This is like the movie that you tell me to watch. Like this will come up like anytime we do like anniversaries or somebody's in this movie and you're like, what? Oh, you need to watch this. Like I'm pretty sure it's like in your like top five favorite movies, I think, because of how much you talk about it.
What? Seriously?
I'm being serious, so, unless I'm misremembering the movie.
What the fudge? I don't know. Be afraid, be very afraid.
I think it's got Jeff Goldblum in it, maybe?
Are you talking about The Fly?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Be afraid. Why do I not remember?
That must be like a promotional line or something, because I don't know.
Because, see, I thought of The Fly, because I know I always tell you to watch The Fly. But then I thought, I don't know, is that in the movie? I don't remember that being. Maybe it is, but I don't think so. I think it must have just been, I don't know. Must have just been something they use in promo. All right. I'm going
to
take it.
Yeah, it's a tagline. No, I'll give it to you, because it is a tagline. It says, be afraid, be very afraid is a tagline for The Fly.
Okay, well. I mean, I guess I can see, because that's kind of vague, right? I mean, that can apply to a thousand movies.
I read it in my head. I was thinking, is it Goosebumps? Because they say that in Goosebumps, too.
All right. Well, here is your final question. If you get it right, you're automatically going to win. How many murderers are revealed at the end of the movie Scream?
Two murderers.
Yeah, that's correct.
Good Billy God. Loomis and Stu Mocker.
Yeah, don't show off. All right, just for shits and giggles, go ahead and give me my fourth question. And let's see what happens.
All right. What 2005 movie involves a group of friends who get trapped in a cave and encounter strange, bloodthirsty creatures?
I'm not sure. Is it The Descent?
It is The Descent.
That's what I thought, but all right. Well, I only lost 4-3. I guess that's not too bad, but oh well.
This was a hard week for you.
I guess there went my momentum. Yeah, I mean, I got three right and still couldn't work out a win. That's disappointing.
That damn drag me to hell question.
Yeah, well, I it's a movie I should have seen, but whatever. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. Spreading the news. Spreading the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off, we're a little light this week on news, but we do have a little bit of cool information here about Hell House LLC Lineage. It's getting a theatrical release in August before coming to Shudder in late October. Exact dates will be announced soon. This is really interesting because Hell House LLC Lineage is a departure from the franchise because it is in a more theatrical filming versus all of the rest of the films are found footage. So this is a first for the Hell House series, but they've done a lot of really good work. I think the last one, which came out not too long ago, it was really good. I want to say it was the not the car was it the Carmichael Manor that just came out?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
But great, great movies. I mean, I love all of them. And, I mean, it's one of those kind of like, you kind of have to like found footage movies, I'll be honest. Like, Hell House movies, you have to like found footage movies. If you don't like found footage movies, you're not going to like these. But the original Hell House movie is probably one of the best and most realistic, like, styled found footage movies. And Carmichael Manor is a little more cinematic. And, of course, this one's going to be a complete departure by being just cinematic. But super good. I very much liked it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know you were done. yeah, I love the Hell House movies. And I'm excited about this one. And I'm excited, you know, the theatrical release because I don't know that any of them have gotten a theatrical release yet. But, it's exciting. And this is it's kind of a big deal, right? There's been a few Hell House movies, and the fact that it's kind of picking up some steam now is kind of cool. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I'm pretty positive this is the first one that's got a theatrical release. I could be wrong, but I think you are correct in that statement. So. But very cool. Keep an eye out for additional news about this because, like I said, it's a Shudder film, so it'll be on Shudder after the release. So we'll most likely, hopefully, get some information about this in the near future. So
yeah. Which on a side note, this is a big year for Shudder. We've not really talked about it because this is their 10th anniversary
really?
Of their inception. So yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of a good presence theatrically this year and lots of things happening and whatever. So they're really kind of doing it up this year, which might be why this is getting a theatrical release, right? Is kind of part of the anniversary push. But yeah, I mean, if anybody follows Shudder on social media platforms and things, their stuff's got about, a 10-year anniversary branding now and stuff. So it's kind of cool that we've had 10 years of Shudder. And it's just wild because it feels like every year it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Being part of that AMC Plus platform now, I think, really, really helps it. And it gives it more exposure and more presence and more backing. So, because it's really established itself as a brand. And pretty cool. So, congrats to Shudder on 10 years, and thank you for giving us so much great shit. And Screambox, right? I mean, we'd be remiss not to mention Screambox. I don't know how long they've been around, but they both bring us lots of good stuff. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I guess another side note off of your side note, I remember in it was February 2015, February or March, you were there, I believe. We went to C2E2 in Chicago, and Shudder had a booth there. Now, for fun fact, Shudder was not publicly launched until October of 2016, but in 2015, if you were invited, invite only, you could basically beta test the Shudder app. And I'm pretty sure you and I both went to the booth and we were both invited to the original launch of it because they sent us an email for a free month through the test. So I would assume that was during the beta testing phase since it was in 2015. But that's always something crazy that I think about and, remembering back on that. I mean, I don't want to say like how it's going to sound, but we were on the ground floor of Shudder. I'm not saying that as like to be a hipster, but just it's crazy to think that Shudder's been around for a decade and we were there from the very beginning. And I remember going back to work because I worked for back in the day. I worked for I think Coca-Cola at the time, the soda company. I merchandised. Telling all my friends, I was like, at work, I was like, hey, if you guys like horror movies, you need to check out Shudder. I went to a comic convention over the weekend. It's really cool. And yeah, I was like spreading it by word of mouth because nobody had ever heard of it. And now it's like you say Shudder, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know Shudder. I've heard of Shudder. So.
I mean, it's just one of those weird things, right? Being there for other reasonings, right? Being a comic convention, whatever else, and just so happened to see this and liking horror films, and yeah, it's wild. So it's yeah, I guess it is pretty crazy. I mean, we've been whatever consumers of Shudder from, well, I mean, I guess prior to day one for them. I
Yeah,
mean. So,
it's really crazy. And like I said, I could be misremembering the dates. It could have been 2016, but even then we were still in before the official launch. And it was just a crazy time. And I remember if you signed up with your email and you gave them all your information so they could sell it to China, they gave you a free pair of socks. So I have those socks in storage currently out my shed. So they're like
wacky.
long socks, which I don't wear.
I got some of those too. I don't wear long socks either, so
Anywho, that was a
wacky times.
it really was 10 years ago, man. All right, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. April 8th, 1955, Kane Hodder, known as his role of Jason, of course, from Friday the 13th, New Blood, all the way through Jason X, and then of course his roles in the Hatchet series, as well as a plethora of other things, because he does literally everything. Kane Hodder is my definitive Jason. So when I think of Jason, I think of Kane Hodder. Not necessarily my definitive Jason movie, but he is my favorite actor who played Jason. Just his build and how he looks in the cosmetics always is a peak time for me.
I mean, he's great. I mean, that's not even accounting for the effects he's done. I mean, just he's done so much effects works and for so many movies. I mean, just go look at his resume.
Yeah.
He's done so much stuff. I mean, that was his thing, was effects before he got into doing some of this. But yeah, I mean, there's been no one that has played Jason more than Kane Hodder. So I think you can say what you want. I mean, I know everybody might have their favorites, and that's fine. But just by default, I mean, you have to give him his props. He's played Jason more than anybody else, so he's more linked to the role than anybody. So,
No, absolutely.
and I
Can't
have
take that away
a
from
no, and I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Hatchet series. I love those movies. So him playing Victor Crowley in those is that's bonus.
him. It really is. He's a goofy guy in those. Like the Hatchet movies are just kind of goofy, but he's good in those. But All right, very good. Now we're going to move on to our other birthday, which is April 9th, 1965. So about a 10-year difference there. Mark Pellegrino, and not saying Sam Pellegrino like the drink, but Mark Pellegrino, who played Lucifer in Supernatural. And actually, I saw him in something just the other day. I saw him in the movie. I'm like, holy shit, that's Lucifer. What's he doing here? So I had to think about which movie that was. But obviously, he's so good in this show. I mean, he is the definitive Lucifer, just 10 out of 10. Oh, he was a Dexter. He played Paul Bennett, which was Dexter is dating a girl named Rita, and she has an abusive ex-boyfriend named Paul Bennett, and it is played by our friend Mark Pellegrino. So that's where I remember from.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. Been in lots of movies. There's also something else I can't remember. Recently he was in. He had a very small part in a very big movie, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's coming. It was the okay, maybe not a very big movie. I guess it might be overstated. The newest Beverly Hills Cop movie, the Axel Foley movie that came out here a while back. He had a part in that as a bodyguard or thug or something. I can't remember, which was kind of weird because it was a movie with a lot of exposure. But yeah, he's played a lot of stuff, done lots of things. But yeah, I mean, again, everybody knows my affinity for Supernatural. So when I think Mark Pellegrino, I think of Lucifer and Supernatural, just the way it be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's so good in that role too. He plays such a bad guy, but also a misunderstood guy. But very good. Well, happy birthday to Kane and Mark. We're going to move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have April 5th, 2024, The First Omen. We do have a full review in the archives. This is a decent movie. Generally positive reviews from us here at Listen to Their Screams. And that was a good movie. Good Lord. But if you want to hear the full review, feel free to check it out, because we definitely elaborate a lot more during our reviews than we do when we just talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun movie. If anybody wants to hear more, they can, go listen to that episode. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not giving the milk away for free. Sorry.
That's right. There you go. All right. Now we're going to move on to our other movie anniversary, which is April 6th, 2018, A Quiet Place. A Quiet Place is a great movie. We've got three of those bad boys now. We got one, two, and Day One. Day One, in my opinion, is borderline better than all of them. But that's not to diminish how good the Quiet Place movie is. It is still so good. Super revolutionary for the time. John Krasinski is such a good actor. Emily Blunt, and I don't remember the kids' names, but the kids were fantastic in the movie as well. Very, very good movie. I 10/10 would recommend.
Yeah, I like A Quiet Place. Like you said, though, I think Day One was – I think it's the best of the three. That was a spectacular movie. But Quiet Place is a fairly close second for me. Still a great movie, but, feels kind of weird that it's been 7 years. I don't know. It's just doesn't seem like it. So it's so weird how the world feels so split with like pre-COVID, post-COVID. It seems like eons.
It does. I find myself, and I have to stop myself from doing it, but I find myself quantifying things. And did this happen before COVID or did this happen after COVID?
Yeah.
Because like anything prior to like March of 2020, like it seems so long ago. And then there's this weird paradox where like 2020, 2021, and 2022 also feel like it was such a long time ago, which I guess it was. That was, upwards of 4 or 5 years ago now. But post-COVID world that we live in is so weird. Time just moves so differently. COVID aged me like a motherfucker. I think that's part of it, at least mentally speaking. But anywho, I'm horrible about that. I'll be like, that happened before or after COVID? But anywho, moving on from that, we got two upcoming releases. Got some good stuff coming here. 825 Forest Road comes to Shudder on April 4th and is described as After a family tragedy, Chuck Wilson hopes to start a new life in Ashland Falls with his wife Maria and little sister Isabel. But he quickly discovers that the town has a dark secret. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Always down for a Shudder release. And this is also, weirdly enough, made by the people who made Hell House LLC. So this should be good. I have full confidence that this will be a good movie, and some familiar faces, hopefully, from the Hell House LLC folks. And then also, Shudder. I'll watch anything that goes on Shudder at least once.
Yeah, and it's weird. I mean, it's a very vague description, right? Not a lot of details, but that's okay. I guess the one thing it always, for some reason, every time I hear that description, it jumps out is that it's this guy and his wife and his little sister Isabel. It makes me wonder what happened and why he has his little sister in his care. So I'm curious about that part. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's not important. But it fills me that something happens to his parents. So, I'm looking forward to this. Anything that has a town with a dark secret, I'm down to see what that secret is.
Bring it on. Town with a dark secret. That's right.
Every town's got dark secrets.
That they do. Funny stuff. Well, hopefully we'll get a good little look at that, and we'll give you guys our official review next week. But in addition to that, the horror comedy Hell of a Summer comes to theaters on April 4th. It is written, directed, and starring Billy Brick and Finn Wolfhard, and described as the counselors of a summer camp are terrorized by a mass killer.
A vague description.
That's incredibly vague. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. Hell of a Summer, great tagline. Has Finn Wolfhard in it, and from what I understand, he had an active hand in the writing and directing of the film. Yeah, based on IMDb and that. So I will 100% watch this for the sole purpose of giving Finn Wolfhard my support, because I know that he's going to make it big. He's already made it big, but he's going to make it bigger. He's going to be the next big actor one day. He's going to be a director, producer. I just know it. He's very talented just from the few things that I've seen him in personally. So 100% I will watch this movie for the sole purpose of supporting Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, I think it's just a vague description. I'm sure there's more to it, right? There's a unique twist to it. For those of fellow Supernatural fans, obviously Finn Wolfhard, mostly known for Stranger Things, but Finn Wolfhard was in an episode of Supernatural.
Yeah, he was.
So there is that. But yeah, I mean, I've heard this. This has got a lot of good buzz. I've heard tickets are selling very well for it. I think, you know, it's like I said, it's a horror comedy. I fully expect the weekend of April 4th. My gut kind of says Hell of a Summer will be up there pushing for that top spot in the box office that weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Very, very good. All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, upcoming releases, and so on and so forth. So what we will do now is we will take a very quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of The Wool of Jenny Penn. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right. And we're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing The Rule of Jenny Penn, written by Eli Kent and James Ashcroft, based on a short story by Owen Marshall. The movie was directed by James Ashcroft, starring Jeffrey Rush, John Lithgow, and others. The movie was released March 28th on Shudder. I will say, we are just starting April of this year, and I have to say, The Rule of Jenny Penn, to me, has been one of the best horror movies of the year so far. Because this movie, it kept my interest. It was I love John Lithgow. He's so good. But Jeffrey Rush did a good job too. But it was, everybody in this was really good. But this movie was so damn creepy and unsettling. I don't know if it was the fact that it was set in a retirement home and there were so many blurred lines between what was real, what was imagined, who was being mischievous on certain things. There was a lot going on with that. But this movie was absolutely creepy. John Lithgow played a great villainous bad guy type character. Jenny Penn being the puppet thing. I don't think that's a spoiler or whatever. It's just wacky the way it played in, made it even creepier. But there was just so much in this. It just this whole descent into madness thing going on, that it was really well made, really captivating, and very intriguing. And like I said, it was terrifying in this very unsettling way. It's like there's multiple levels. Because there was the stuff that John Lithgow and his character were doing and that kind of stuff. But there was also this facing mortality level of this movie that made you think, man, you know, getting older, maybe falling into some of these things, and living these lives of being trapped being trapped within and again, I don't think this is a spoiler because I'm pretty sure this was in the descriptions, literally kind of in a way being trapped in your own body, without having full functionality or full mentally understanding or these different, there's all kinds of different things that's disturbing too. And that's terrifying too. But then when you add on to it, this whole nother antagonist to it on top of that, that's adding a whole nother stressor to that. The movie was unsettling, in a good way, in an entertaining way. And I have to say, man, I really, really enjoyed it. And I really feel like this movie could have been a theatrical release. I really think it had enough going for it that I don't know that I don't know how well it would have done, I guess. Maybe that's the question. But I thought it was a pretty strong movie. So, Ike, what'd you think of The Rule of Jenny Penn?
Yeah. So, I think first things first, you have to acknowledge with The Rule of Jenny Penn that the acting was very good. You know, it was a little slow at parts for me, but overall, the movie was very good. Like you said, John Lithgow is a hell of an actor. I mean, just so good. So good. I love John Lithgow. He also, weirdly enough, John Lithgow is also in Dexter. He plays what the hell's his name? He plays one of the more famous killers in that show. And he's so good. And like, anytime I see him on screen, I'm like, hell yeah. John Lithgow is a national treasure. Even though I don't think he's from these parts, I think he's probably British or something. Oh no, he was born in Rochester, New York. Never mind. I take it back. He's a national fucking treasure. Anyways, like you said, I think the main telling of this movie is that is the nursing home. I think that putting somebody into that position and creating the level of terror and violence that was being committed borders on that level of exploitation. And, you know, these are very vulnerable, very, I guess what you would say, easily abused people, right? I mean, as it is, right? If you look at the real life issues. There's a lot of abuse in nursing homes. So you put them into this very vulnerable situation that already, you know, without supernatural influence or potential supernatural influence, it's a very scary situation to be in already. And then, like you said, you have these people who are losing their mental faculties, who are losing their physical capabilities, not being able to walk anymore, not being able to defend themselves anymore, things of that nature. You create a very hostile environment for them to exist in just naturally. And then you also add into it the terror of the supernatural oppression, the terror of this person who is, you know, doing some things that they shouldn't be doing, and, you know, not to give it all away. And like you said, there are these moments where, you know, this sort of lack of lucidity, where is he losing his mind, or is there some other influence that's causing him not to be fully lucid, you know? And it's sort of this constant question. And that's one of the things too that's super terrifying to me is, you know, the concept of my body failing me, right? That's super terrifying. And I mean, obviously it'll happen one day. You know what I mean? Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day, but one day my body will fail me. But it's so terrifying to watch it happen and then to watch somebody be preyed upon in that vulnerable, weakened state. And I think that that's what this movie does such a good job of, is it shows these older people in a vulnerable state being preyed upon by this entity or this person or this creature, whatever you want to call it, you know. And it's just, it's very unique, and it hasn't been done before. Now, I say it hasn't been done before, but there's that movie, Bubba Hotep, with Bruce Campbell, where he plays Elvis Presley in a nursing home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not saying that Rule of Jenny Penn stole their ideas from Bubba Hotep, but they stole their ideas from Bubba Hotep. I'm kidding. this is a more serious interpretation of it. And, you know, while there is some, like, cruel irony kind of comedy dripped into it, because John Lithgow is the master of delivery when it comes to being creepy, but also funny. Like, his character is just super eerie in that he can be saying something funny, but then immediately on a coin flip into a very serious, demented character. And that's what he does in this movie. Like I said, I quite enjoyed the Rule of Jenny Penn. Like I said, there were a couple of slow parts. It didn't lose me per se, but I could see where somebody else might be lost by a little bit. But like I said, overall, very good movie. And really, though, there were a couple parts where I was like, wow, okay, that's a little weird. That's a little creepy. Like, what's going on here? So I give it credit for what it did.
Yeah, there's a man, there's a there's something that happens in the movie with, and there's a an absolutely fantastic line of dialogue with it that is so weirdly perverted by John Lithgow, and I don't want to say it because I want people to experience it in the movie first, but it is one of those lines that could be right up there in our Lion Hall of Fame with, you know, gobble, gobble, motherfucker, and all these things in the past that we got hooked on. So once there's a little bit of a grace period, I see this line coming back up. And when it does, cause I'm telling you now, people, I'm going to bring it back into the conversation at some point. And I want to apologize in advance for using this line. When I do, because you know what? Some people might find it uncomfortable. I find it humorous. Before you make the judgment, watch the movie first. That's, you know what? I guess that's all I'm going to say about it, but there will come a time that this one particular line of dialogue I'm going to begin using here on the show, but I'm going to give it a little bit of a spoiler grace period. Yeah, John Lithgow, absolutely perfect in this. Even down to stuff like the way he was eating food was freaking disturbing and creepy. It's like he was so good. I'm convinced that no, I don't care what role you put him in, that he can deliver. He's a master, and
I mean,
it's funny.
He voiced Lord Farquaad and Shrek.
Yeah.
So he can do Shrek. He can do Dexter. He can do the Rule of Jenny Pen. He was in Pitch Perfect 3, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember him from being in Third Rock, from
Yeah.
the Sun. That's what I always remember him mostly for him. But yeah, he's so good, so good. So anyway, a very entertaining movie. People need to give it a watch, especially for it being, like I said, being a Shudder movie. That's again, this is such a really great film for a service to be on a straight to streaming service. It, you know, this is one of those borderline theatrical movies, right? That unfortunately didn't, you know, because of the climate and, you know, with theaters and whatnot, there's not as many screens and not as many showings available. You know, this movie missed out, but because of Shudder, it gets out there, gets a push, you know, gets some exposure, and it's, I feel like this is a pretty big release for them. It really, it's what it feels like. And, but I fully urge everybody to go give it a watch. So Ike, let's give it a rating. Out of 5 screams, what are you giving The Rule of Jenny Pen?
So Rule of Jenny Pen, it truly feels like you said, theatrical release, put on streaming, that just, you know, this is just where it worked. I would give this a strong 3.5 out of 5. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would rewatch it. And it's one of those movies that it kind of makes you think. It makes you scratch your noggin a little bit. And it's a little bit of a slow burn at times. And, you know, so I know a lot of people like slow burn. So 3.5 out of 5 for me seems pretty fair. John Lithgow for me also very much carries this movie in a lot of ways. Not to say anyone else was bad, but yeah, John Lithgow pushes this movie over the top to a 3.5 out of 5 from Ike.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5 as well. I will be real. I did sit and give it as Pooh would say, I gave it a good thinking on whether could I justify giving it a 4. I mean, I enjoyed it enough that I had to at least explore that option. I thought, nah, I just don't know if there's enough there for the 4. You know, it was pretty easy when I, you know, kind of thought it through. It's not quite that level, but it's definitely above a 3. And so obviously then it falls at the 3.5. A very good movie. And again, in my mind, what made me give it that consideration for possibly being a 4 is John Lithgow. I know we've said his name a million times, but you just have to watch the movie to appreciate his performance. It was great. And again, that's not undermining. Everybody was great in it, but he just stood out so well, so much, and what he did. And it was great. So, all right, there you go then. The consensus, 3.5 out of 5. Go watch The Rule of Jenny Pen, available now on Shudder. Next episode, like we said, we'll be reviewing 825 Forest Road, which is available April 4th, also on Shudder. Let's see. Go watch that before the episode drops. We are spoiler-free, but that way at least you can, you know, you can think along with us. So, before we get there, thank you to all the wives, listeners, and followers for all your support, your consideration, and everything else that you give us. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much every platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen to Screams. That's Listen, the number 2 in Screams. Either way, you're going to find us. Again, we're on all the platforms. We're pretty active on all of them. It's, you know, we post everything on everything. But yeah, we post the stuff that we talk about here in the episodes, the news and birthdays and all that kind of stuff. But there's also other stuff that some of it's a little more pressing that, you know, we can't wait for. We post some humorous things every once in a while that we come up with or if we think of. We post some, you know, feedback on movies that we're watching or movies that are in the public eye or whatever it might be. There's lots of other things on social media that gets posted up there on those platforms that we don't, you know, don't discuss or go over here in the episode because it's just There's no, there's not really a place for it here. And again, in social media, we like to be very interactive. So make sure you give us some comments, likes, follow, shares, open some discussions and dialogues with us, because we're all fans of horror movies. And if there's anything that horror movie fans like to do, that is they like to discuss and talk about horror movies. That's why we're doing a podcast here. So interact with us. Let's open some dialogue and discussion and talk about the horror genre. So before we close this out, Ike, is there anything you want to add?
Honestly, just a small little thing I noticed the other day. So you know in horror movies how like there's that overused trope where like somebody goes into the refrigerator and they open it and it's like the shots from like the side where it's like showing them open the refrigerator, looking in, and then they close it and there's somebody behind the door. So there's like this reverse trope now where like they do that, but then they close it and then like there's nobody behind them.
Nobody there. Yeah.
So it's like they turned one overused trope into another overused trope by using the same basic principle of opening the refrigerator shut. Just something I noticed. I was watching the movie the other day and I was like, that's so weird. Such a weird thing, because it was one that was overused because everyone was like, oh yeah, there's somebody behind the door. And then they stopped doing it and then they're like, hey, fuck it, let's pull a little switcheroo on them.
Yeah, it's like you get one thing to a point where people are expecting it, so they think, oh, well, people are expecting it, now we can flip the switch, and that's all great and well for a time or two, but then it's like once you do it enough times, you're back the other direction. And I don't know if it's one of the first times in my recollection I can remember kind of seeing that flipping of the script. I think was in the last Scream movie. I think they did it there, with the guy in the opening scene that killed the girl, and then he went back to his apartment and was on the phone. I feel like there was, I don't know, maybe one of those latest Scream movies. I feel like they did it right with the door and you close. But yes, like you're right. Lots of movies are really doing that now, and yeah, it's if man, I tell you what, if there's nothing that horror movies love, it is the tropes. They like to
Oh
use
yeah.
them, and but I mean, I guess they serve their purpose until they don't. So, but I feel like this one's already gotten worn out. But
Already overstayed its welcome.
So, all right. So I guess what we're trying to say is, if you are a horror movie creator out there, come up with something else, right? Give us the next trope. We're ready. Let's move on, and give us whatever the next one is. I don't know what that'll be, but I don't the creepy puppet from Rule of Jenny Pin. Let's don't make that a trope, because that the we didn't really talk about, but the puppet was the looks, the design of the puppet was absolutely kind of genius to me, because it was so simplistic.
I was going to say simple but terrifying, and
Yeah,
that's underutilized in horror
it
movies,
is.
the
Yeah,
simplicity.
because it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know. It's weird, because it's like there's this one level of scary, because it's like, yeah, you know what? I've seen that kind of puppet slash doll type look like all over the place, right? Walking through like damn flea markets and thrift stores or garage sales or whatever it might be, family house or whatever. There's that weird ass, basic ass doll looking thing, and they're using it in this. So, but I have a thing for dolls anyway. Dolls are just creepy to me, just in general. I don't know what it is. Dead eyes, I guess. I don't know. But all right. Well, then that's it. We're gonna close this one out. Go watch The Rule of Jenny Pan. It's a fun watch. Like I said, it's on Shudder. Go give 825 Forest Road a watch on Shudder and be prepared for our next episode, which will be coming up soon. But until we get there, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.